The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning, church. I hope you are well. Does anyone feel a little bit like they might respond with a clap? Because that was an excellent clip. And for those of you who don't know, that was our celebration AGM video. So we put that together for our AGM last Sunday night. And thank you to all of those of you who came out to that fantastic night celebrating what God has done through the year of 2013. Now, I thought that it'd be really appropriate because of our topic. You can see our topic this morning is Christ-like servant leadership. And I thought it would be really appropriate just this morning, out of our clip, which was a fantastic just snapshot of all that God had done through 2013, to see all those amazing faces of our leaders and the baptisms. I mean, I remember Lefia in the second service getting baptized last year, and she jumped out, and one of our older women in our church jumped out of how she was baptized, which was fantastic. And so I thought it would be appropriate just this morning to again, in front of all of you, just to honour and just to thank all of the fantastic leaders that we have in the life of our church. We've got an amazing servant leadership team. We've got a great staff. We've got a huge number of shepherding elders who just do a great job of loving us and caring for us and praying for us. And then, not to mention the probably hundreds of other leaders and people who serve in ministry areas right across our church. We are super blessed to have all of those people serving God and making a difference in this place. So can we honour them with a clap this morning as well? And while I'm in the mood of thanking people, I think it's important that we just thank Chris Nixon, who put that video clip together. Also, Rebecca Jones did all the sort of the graphics, and then Mike Ellery did that kind of cool soundtrack in the background. So it was a good team effort, wasn't it? Fantastic. So thank you guys. If you're listening to this online or wherever you are, is there any of those guys in the meeting today? That you guys can pass that on for me. Out the back making coffee. Doing a good job of that too. Well, today's core value is Christ-like servant leadership. And we, like all the other values you've heard about over the last 6 or 7 weeks, there's a little blurb, little descriptor that goes with that. And so I'm wondering whether we can read that right now. It's Christ-like servant leadership. And LifeStreams aspires to be a church led by godly men and women with leadership gifts who ensure we follow good governance principles and are committed to raising, training, empowering, and releasing new generations of Christ-like servant leaders in all ministries of the church. That's our heart. That's our desire. I'd like to open in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, it is good to be together. It's good to be gathered together as your people. And again, Lord, I want to thank you for a great year last year, 2013. And Lord, I want you to bless every single one who was taking on the role of helping people find and follow Jesus in this church. Every single leader who was seeking to do that. Lord, I want you to bless them, Lord. Bless them for their commitment to our mission. And Lord, I pray as we open up your word this morning, I pray for this message. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us by your Spirit. And I pray that you would continue to help us to grow into the men and the women that you have called us to be. And Lord, I also want to pray for our children's ministry teachers and leaders. Lord, I want to pray for Emily Dickinson. I want to pray for Nathan Chung this morning as they teach our children. I believe, Lord, they've got one of the most important jobs in the life of our church today. And so be with them as they teach and as they lead our little people. And Lord, I pray for every single one of our children. I pray that they'd have an amazing time this morning learning more about you. And God, we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Christ-like servant leadership. Church, do you know that we have an amazing heritage, a wonderful heritage? And we are here today, and we are here today standing on the shoulders of some amazing leaders who have gone before us. And now, I'm kind of wanting to do a little bit of a history snapshot. And you might be relatively new to the church, and you won't know probably any one of these people, and that's okay. I want you to get a vibe for what God has done and for the way that he's used some of these amazing people. Did you know that we were officially opened in November 1947? That's a long time ago, isn't it? If you do the maths really quickly, and I've prepared it for you earlier, 67 years. We are 67 years old. Now, that sounds old, but we're really young still, aren't we? That's what I love about church. Organic living churches can be still, you know, really old, but still really vibrant and alive and young. But we're 67 years old. And there's this guy by the name of Ben Wesley. Now, this is Ben Wesley. Ben Wesley is a key foundational leader in the life of our church. And Tanya, going through some of the archives at the Church of Christ head office, came across this photo, which we believe was probably around the 60s when Ben, around the 1960s. Now, Ben Wesley was used mightily of God to get our church off the ground. And he coined a phrase that you will probably hear from time to time in the life of our church. He coined the phrase, "The best is yet to come." Who's heard that before? We've heard us say that before. And it is a term that we have just held on to and we run with and we believe and we're praying that the best is still yet to come. God used many leaders in those early days, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to mention everyone. There'll be some names that'll pop into your head. Just praise God for them when they come into your head. But he used many leaders. People like the Pallets, and they're relatives of family members that are still a part of our church. The Pallets, the Ballantines, again the same. Luke and Georgie are here and a part of church now. But the Ballantines were instrumental in getting our church off the ground. The Ballantines were also really instrumental in us getting this piece of land here, this 10 acres. One day, Keith woke up and he thought, he felt led of the Lord to write to the Department of Lands, DOLA. And he put a letter together and he thought, I'm just going to ask and see whether they'll give us that bit of land down the road. So he wrote a letter, sent it in, and the Department of Lands said, why not? We'll give it to you. How good is that? I mean, the provision of God and the vision of a man just to put together a letter. And here we are today, 10 acres. I mean, this property is worth millions and millions of dollars, and we've got some phenomenal things planned for this piece of property. So, awesome. God bless the Ballantines for their vision. A senior pastor by the name of George Wood, Jack and Miriam Bond, Des Nelson, and the late Bill Gaunson. Now, again, Bill Gaunson was a senior minister in the life of the church, and he kind of led us down here into our new building. He had a real gift of evangelism, was an excellent Bible teacher, and he impacted many people, just faithfully preaching the Word of God and faithfully preaching the gospel. And he is related. He's the grandfather and the father of people who are still, so Russell and Petra Gaunson, still a part of our church. We've had many godly lay people, who worked 60 hours a week in their worlds, in their jobs, and then come to the church and just serve. And one person that comes to mind is a lady by the name of Joy Turnell. And Joy Turnell was a Sunday school legend. in the life of our church, and she impacted many children over the years. Then in 1989, Dave Stanford was appointed, so our very own Dave Stanford, and we celebrate with him this year 25 years of faithful ministry. And so if you see him, I reckon, you know, we don't do that real well, do we, that whole celebration thing? Give him a hug, say thank you, because he's been a faithful servant of God in this place. Then in 1992, John and Julie Bond accepted the role of senior ministers. And then in 2012, they ministered faithfully for a whole 20 years as our senior ministers, and we celebrated with them in 2012 and thanked them for their awesome ministry as senior ministers. Just a couple of other people. You might remember Anthony Cook, Leanne Hunt, Leanne Petherick, two significant figures in the life of our church through the 90s in our youth ministry and our young adult ministry. And then more recently, Tanya Watson, who's now our leader of Churches of Christ in WA, Darren and Mel Carruthers, and I'm sure there's many more that you can think of as you are sitting there. I say all this because I wanted to demonstrate to you that we have an amazing heritage of leadership in this place. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that the best is still yet to come. God is not done with us. And as I reminisce and as I think through our history, I can't help but think about the impact of people on my own life. And as I share a little bit of that now, I want you to think about the people in your world who have played a significant role and made a significant impact on you and shaped you. There was a family. I went to primary school and I grew up in this family. I was essentially their third child, and their name of that family was the Child's Family. They introduced me to a sport that was really foreign to me, and that was basketball. And that basketball team was a church team. So I got involved in the church, the youth group, and ultimately I met Jesus. And I'm so thankful for the Child's Family. I'm so thankful for a guy by the name of Tony Spencer, who was a young adult at the time, and he took me under his wing. He took me out for burgers and drinks at Hungry Jack's, and he sowed the word of God into me in my younger years. I'm so thankful for Dave Stanford, who sat me down at Tomato Lake and drew in the sand, essentially the gospel, and challenged me to accept Jesus, and I accept Jesus that day. I'm so thankful for David. I'm so thankful for all the youth leaders who continually gave up their Friday nights to put up with snotty-nosed high schoolers like me. Arrogant high school students like me. People like Phil Porter, my brother-in-law, who was my youth leader when I was in high school. Just phenomenal people of influence. I'm so thankful for John Bond's teaching, his mentoring, his willingness to give me a go on his team. I'm so thankful for all the Bible college lectures, all the preachers that I've heard over the years. Have you ever stopped and thought, wonder how many messages I've heard over the years? Thousands and thousands for some. But all of them, God puts them all together and shapes us into the people that He wants us to be. You know, I've been so blessed by some amazing godly leaders. They have watched me, they have protected me, they have led me, guided me, fed me, served me, and provided for me a wonderful example of what it means to follow Jesus. I wonder, as you are sitting here right now, you've just heard me share a bit of a snapshot history, the church. I've shared a little bit of my journey and the impact of people on my world. I am wondering, who are the people that are coming to your mind right now? Who are the people that God has used to impact your spiritual journey, to impact your world? Maybe there's one or two names. Maybe there's a whole plethora of names. And I want you to just file them away for now, okay? Because we're going to come back to that at the end of the message. But I just want you to think about that. And I guess I ask you that question. And as you reminisce on those people, my prayer is that as we look back and we thank God for those who have gone before, I pray that it would spur us on and motivate us towards being the best leaders or being the leaders that God has called us to be. And, you know, I can't help but think this. Can't help but think, what will they write about us? What will future generations write about us? So this morning, where are we going? Well, this morning I believe what God wants us to do, a couple of things. I believe He wants us to honor and thank Him and thank the people that He has used to invest in us and to shape us. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I want to open 1 Peter 5. And in 1 Peter 5, we're just going to look at four very simple verses. And as we open 1 Peter 5, I hope that it reminds us of what we are called to do as leaders and as shepherds. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, you know, I'm not a leader. And I want to say this to you with gentleness and respect. I can understand how that might be your position. And I believe probably there's big L leadership. You know, some of us are gifted with leadership, naturally gifted, and we find leading really easy. And then there's some of us that, you know, for want of a better way of describing it, we're more sort of a small L leader. And the reality is we're all leading someone. You know, you might be a mother and you have an amazing responsibility to lead your children. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? The reality is we're all leading people. People are watching you. Believe it or not, people are watching you. So when I talk about leaders and shepherds today, it's for all of us, okay? So you can't sit there and go, oh, it's not talking. This isn't for me today. It is. So let's open the Word to 1 Peter 5. And before we read it, I think it's important we just establish a little bit of context. This letter, at the start of the letter, it's addressed to God's elect. God's elect. Strangers in the world scattered through our Asia Minor. And the purpose of this letter is to encourage believers to stand strong and stand firm, especially while they endure suffering and hardship and distress from persecution during the evil age, obviously, that this time has been written. This book has been written. The passage that we're about to look at, the four verses, addresses specifically the leadership. It's to the leadership of these churches, these places. And because Peter wants them to be really strong when times are tough and when there is persecution. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It's the word of the Lord this morning. So I'm going to just walk us through these four verses. And I'm going to make a few comments, a few observations, and stop a couple of times along the way. Verse 1, we see a word repeated. And that word, that key word here, is the word elder. Now, the institution of eldership was adopted by the Jerusalem church in Acts. And Paul and Barnabas applied it to all of the local congregations that they founded as they travelled around on their missionary journeys. So, elder. Who are elders? What are elders? I think that's a good question. And the simple answer this morning is this. The elders that Peter is referring to here are simply the leaders of those local congregations. They're the leadership. It goes on to say, be shepherds of God's flock. Be shepherds of God's flock under your care. It's interesting that right throughout history, right throughout the scriptures, the comparison of God's people to a flock of sheep and to the Lord as a shepherd is a prominent picture, isn't it? In the early days, almost every family owned a few sheep. And sheep back in that day, they were a valuable commodity. And they usually, a family would then delegate somebody to be the shepherd or somebody to look after the sheep. We read in the Old Testament about a prominent figure, the King David, you know, who was the youngest of eight brothers. He had the job of shepherding the sheep, watering the sheep. He also wrote the shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, a very famous psalm. And then in the New Testament, many examples, but one of them is the parable of the lost sheep. And Peter is essentially saying here, you know, fellow shepherds, fellow elders, fellow leaders, you are responsible for the flock that God has entrusted you with. So do that with loving care. I don't know about you, but the shepherd is a beautiful picture of leadership, isn't it? You know, there's so many pictures of leadership. We can look in the scriptures or we can look around us. But it's a great, I love this as a picture of leadership. It speaks so much of God's heart for us. So what does it mean to shepherd? What does it look like? Well, three real, very simple things. And I hope that they will remind us of what God has called us to be. And the first one is to watch and protect. Shepherd's role, a really important role of a shepherd, is to watch and protect his sheep. If we read on a little bit further in 1 Peter, he provides for us what I believe is the reason why we need to watch and protect. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You know, in biblical times, a shepherd, you know, I just wanted to share a couple of little interesting facts about shepherds. In biblical times, they needed to know the exact location of where all the caves were. And the reason for that was so that they could shelter. They could shelter from storms or they could shelter from really cold nights. They also needed to know where all the valleys were and also all the rocky outcrops so that they could find shade on really hot days and find a place where it was cool for the flock. They would often carry a sling. And I don't know about you, but in Australia, the sling is the ging. Well, it probably wasn't a ging. It was more of a, you know, one of those kind of slingshots. So he'd carry one of those. He'd have a wooden club. And that wooden club was used to fend off lions, bears, wolves, jackals, and hyenas, which would attack the flock. And he'd also carry a staff. He'd carry that staff to prod the sheep to get them moving. But he'd also use the staff to rescue sheep that would often get caught in crevices or, you know, one of the biblical pictures of a sheep caught in a sort of a thorny crevice. So he'd carry those things. And when a flock was far from home, the shepherd would usually set up a camp near a water source. And again, that's really important to provide water. He'd also stoke up a fire, and that would provide warmth. But it also, the light from the fire would be used to discourage some of those wild animals from attacking the flock. a simple pen or a sheepfold would be built from stones, and he'd kind of make this this paddock, so to speak. And there he would have kept the animals together at night. All of those pictures are interesting, aren't they? They are pictures of a shepherd watching and protecting his flock. That was a major role of a shepherd. And you know what? It is still a super important role for leadership today, because the enemy is still at it. He is still prowling around like a lion, looking to devour us, looking to take us out. Also in Scripture, he's described as a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. Sometimes we don't even notice at the start, but his mission is to destroy and steal and devour. And it's the responsibility of leadership to watch and protect the flock. It's such an important role. Let's move on to verse 2, the second part. It says, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. The second really important role is to serve. A shepherd is to serve their flock. And you know how they did that back in ancient time? They did that by feeding, and they did that by guiding. Again, some interesting things to note. The shepherd had to find adequate pasture. They had to guide their flock to a place where they could have an adequate feed. They also did that for water. You know, the sheep of the day are often described as being quite hardy and strong. But they still needed to drink, so they needed to drink every single day. They didn't need to eat every day, but the reality was that they needed to make sure that the flock was relatively fed well. The shepherds developed a really close relationship with their sheep. And they had a distinctive call which the sheep could recognize. And it wasn't too uncommon for a shepherd to lead his flock to a water source. And the reality was that there were a number of different flocks there. And I don't know about you, but when was the last time you looked at a sheep? They all look the same, don't they? Except if maybe there's, I think in that picture there was a black one there. The reality is the sheep all look the same. And you've got to imagine all these flocks all gathered together around a water source. And I'm thinking, man, that just, to me, this seems like a logistical nightmare. How do you find out which one are yours? The reality is the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and he'd make a call, and the sheep would move. Unbelievable. What a wonderful picture. It actually reminds me of something that I experienced a couple of months ago at a mate's farm. He has cows, and I know cows aren't shepherds, but just go with me on this little story, okay? He's got cows, and we went down to one of the paddocks where there was probably about, I don't know, 40, 50 cows. And my mate kind of leaned over to me and he goes, watch this. And he just sort of stood back. We're right on the edge of the fence. And he shouts out, Romo! And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And all of a sudden I saw this cow stick up his head, and he was looking around, and he started making his way through all of these other cows and came up to where we were standing at the fence. And it was Robbo. And Robbo starts rubbing his hand, and he loved... I've never seen a cow act like a dog before in my whole life. But it was amazing. I saw this illustrated back at that farm. It was incredible. You know, they knew his voice. The shepherds, the flock knew his voice. And the shepherds served the flock by guiding them and feeding them. And as leaders, you know what? We need to do exactly the same. We need to be eager to serve. Careful that we're not doing it for dishonest gain. We're to serve by feeding and guiding. And I'm wondering, as you sit here this morning, how are you serving those God has placed in your care. Do they know your voice? Are you feeding them with the Word of God? And are you guiding them in wisdom and in prayer? We've been called to shepherd those who God has entrusted us with. That's the second thing. The third thing is we need to lead by example. We need to lead by example. Verse 3, not lording it over. Our leadership and our shepherding should never look like that. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You know, another little interesting fact is that unlike most modern shepherds, so when I talk about most modern shepherds, I'm talking about even the what we see here in Australia, you know, cattlemen and drovers, unlike the way that they do it, ancient shepherds would lead their flock from the front rather than driving them from behind, which is really interesting, isn't it? So they would lead out the front where maybe Australian stockmen and cattlemen sort of drive from behind. This is a really important picture. It's important because it links to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. He says, follow my example. Follow my example as I follow the example of who? Christ. As I follow the example of Jesus. Now, some of you would know Josh Bond. Josh Bond is John and Julie Bond's son. And he recently moved to the States with his bride Felicity to study international development at Eastern Uni in Philadelphia. And he has been super blessed. He's been blessed to secure Tony Campolo as his mentor for his time during college. Now, some of you would know Tony Campolo, some of you might not, but he's a bit of a legend in the US as a great Christian leader. He's a sociologist, he's a pastor and author, public speaker, and former spiritual advisor to the US President Bill Clinton. Well, now, Josh Bond has him as his spiritual advisor. I mean, how cool is that? And while John and Julie were over there recently, Josh had a mentoring session with Tony Campolo. And John said to him, Josh, next time you meet with Tony, which I think was going to be the next day or so, I want you to ask him a question. I want you to ask him the question, what keeps you going? What keeps you going? And the reason for the question is that Tony is now nearly 80 years old, and he is still actively involved in mission and in ministry. And so it's a great question. And anyway, next time Josh sits down with Tony, Josh says to Tony, Tony, my dad wanted to ask you this question. And the question is this, what keeps you going? You know, you're nearly 80 years old. Why are you still so passionate about all the things that God has called you to? And Tony looked at Josh and he leant forward and he said, you do. Josh, people like you keep me going in mission and in ministry, keep me passionate about those things. I don't know about you, that's a powerful story. That's powerful because one of the really important roles of a shepherd is to lead by example. And it's not only to lead by example, it's so that we are then able to pass on to the next generation what we have learned. 2 Timothy 2:1, and Paul says this to Timothy, who was under his care and under his discipleship. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul is essentially saying there, follow my example as I follow Christ, so that you can pass it on to the next generation, so that they can pass it on to the next generation. Do you get what I'm trying to say there? Shepherds and leaders need to lead by example. Verse 4, we're almost done here. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You know, the crown of glory referred to here is most likely a garland or a wreath made of gold and vegetation, usually given in military or athletic victories in the Greco-Roman world. So an athlete won a race, he'd receive this crown of glory. And it's interesting that the crown of glories that they receive, they're ones that are going to fade away and dissolve over time. And it's difficult to know if the crown is equivalent to eternal life itself, or whether there's a special reward for elders or for leadership. But most commentators believe that elders and leaders can be really confident that if they protect and they watch over their flock, if they serve their flock, if they lead by example, so all the things we've just looked at in verse 2 and 3, if they faithfully serve and do all those things, they will receive the greatest reward conceivable when the day of Jesus, when the day of the Lord arrives, when the chief priest comes to gather his kids, his children. You know, that is awesome. And that should motivate us. It should motivate us to be the best shepherds that we can be. Okay, now time to land this message. I wonder what the Lord has said to you this morning. I wonder what the Word of God has spoken into your life. I wonder what the Spirit of God has said. Where has today's message, Christ-like servant leadership, intersected your spiritual journey? It's so important for us to think about that and to go, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with what I've just heard? And can I encourage you to write it down? You know, we retain stuff way better when we write it down. But as we finish, a couple of things. The first thing is a real practical response. You've been given a postcard, one of the church's postcards. If you could grab that into your, like, take hold of it into your hand. The reason why I've made a postcard available to each of you is because, remember, at the beginning, I asked you to reflect upon your spiritual journeys. And one of the ways that I want to encourage you to honor and to thank God and to thank those men and women who have invested in you is by writing just a simple encouragement note. So can you at least, we don't have time for you to write a full-on little postcard here, but can you at least write the name of the person that you would like to bless and encourage? So it's a bit of homework today. So you've got the responsibility to write the postcard, and then the second thing you need to do is you will need to then somehow get it to that person. If the person is a part of our fellowship, feel free to put it in their pigeonhole, which is just in the foyer there. Or you will need to buy. When was the last time you bought a stamp? You know what I mean? A stamp. They're probably about $5 each or something now. But you'll need to buy a stamp, and you'll need to write their address on there and get it to them, put them in the post. I mean, nothing, I don't know about you, but when you receive encouragement or you receive a little note, man, that spurs you on, doesn't it? And the other thing I want you to do is, as you're writing it, I want you to think about, you know, what I said earlier about what is the next generation going to write about us? What is the legacy that we're going to leave? The people that we are leading. So I encourage you to do that. I think that'll be a great little exercise. The second thing is, and I know we're running out of time, but I think this is important, If you are here today and you have not decided yet, or you are still trying to figure out, am I going to follow this Jesus person that you guys always talk about? I want to point you to Jesus this morning. I want to point you to the chief shepherd. And I want to do that by giving you a scripture. And that scripture is in Revelation 7:17. I want you to reflect on it. This is heart, his heart, Jesus' heart for you. It simply says this. We're going to fly into that, to the back of that sheep there. And we're going to read Revelation 7. It says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." That in itself, there's some unbelievable things going on. How can the Lamb be the shepherd? Well, he did. He died for us. He will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's his heart for you. That's his passion for you. I'd love you just to take that away and maybe reflect on that during the week. And then the last thing we want to do this morning is just, I've asked the lovely Margaret Bardsley to come up onto the stage, and she is going to pray for us, just wrap up in prayer for us this morning out of what we've looked at today in 1 Peter, but also pray for all of us, the leaders in this place. So thank you, Margaret.
Father, we do come together just now to say thank you for all those who've had input into our lives. We thank you for those who were foundational in getting this church established. We thank you for all those Christians who we've known in our lifespan who have been faithful in their example, faithful in prayer, faithful in sharing your word with us. We thank you now for all those in leadership responsibility in our church here. We praise you for the way that they encourage us to grow in our walk with you, who share your word with us and pray for us. And Father, we're reminded too of the example of leadership you gave when you were here on earth amongst your disciples. As we're told in Philippians 2, that you weren't someone who grasped hold on to position and authority. You held it loosely. And so we pray that all those in leadership for ourselves, in whatever position of leadership we find ourselves, that we'd know how to exercise that authority in a godly way over those for whom we have responsibility. And we're reminded again how in John 13 we're told that Jesus, he knew who he was. He knew his true identity. And yet he was willing to take the bowl of water and the towel and wash the disciples' feet. Father, help us all to know who we are in you and yet to be able to serve in humility all who come across our path. And we just pray, particularly for our leaders now, in the words of Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Margaret. Amen. Well, church, thank you for being here today. Just a couple of things as we wrap up. There will be shepherds at the front this morning who would love to be able to stand with you, pray with you, guide you, all of those things we've talked about today. So please make the most of that if you would like to grab some prayer. Also, care cards. Don't forget your care cards. And if you're a new friend with us today, we're stoked that you've made the choice to be with us. And we want to bless you by encouraging you to go to into the cafe area. There you'll find a new friends table. We want to shout you a coffee. We want to provide for you some fantastic morning tea. And there'll be some great people there who would love to meet you. And then don't want you to forget to take your postcard. Make sure you grab that, do that this week. And also to remember to keep your eyes focused on the Chief Shepherd this week. So God bless and have a fantastic rest of your day.